I would like you to turn with me in the Word to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That is in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Just one verse. Going back to 16, be joyful always. 17, pray continually. 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Let me say it again, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I want to just tell you this morning before I pray, what I want to share with you today, and the Lord's really laid in my heart, I'll just tell you straight up, your logical mind will not be able to grasp what I'm going to share with you today. If you are here and all you function with is the logic in your mind, you will miss. You'll walk out and there will be nothing that affects you. But when Holy Spirit comes and literally does an awakening, turn the lights on, pulls the veils back, allows you to grasp in the spirit what you can never grasp in the flesh, with revelation comes what? Transformation. And that is what I'm believing for this morning. Would you stand with me, all of you? Would you stand with me this morning before I pray? And only for those of you who are believing to receive and be transformed, I'd like you to put your right arm in the air. I would like you to clasp your fist really hard. You know how this works physiologically. When we do this, we are more open to retain and to receive and remember. So would you do that and bow with me this morning? Father, I want to say thank you. We are here today not just to go through status quo. We are here today because we believe your word is living. It is powerful. It is active. It has the ability to heal, to correct, rebuke, to resort. And Father, to raise from the dead. And so today, before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, take literal possession. With the authority you've given, I bind up every demonic burden. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, this morning, you know the hearts of every person in this place who is standing, believing, and prepared to receive. We want to hear your voice and be changed by it. We understand that the flesh, our logic, cannot grasp the things of the Spirit, but we are not without you, Holy Spirit. You are in us in order to allow us to grasp the things of the kingdom. And so today we believe, and we will receive, and we say thank you for it in advance, in Jesus' name, and everybody believing said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you have your bulletins this morning or your notepads, there's going to be a number of things I'm going to encourage you to write down. If you have a spouse who has all that, you are a blessed person. If you have a stellar memory, then you don't need any of that stuff. But I encourage you to write it down. The retention is way better. This morning, before I share with you what God's laid in my heart for Thanksgiving, what Holy Spirit has laid, I want to ask you three questions. And two of them I'll ask response for, and one of them I won't. First question is this. When you think about the people in your world, how many of you know at least one person who, in virtually every circumstance, doesn't matter the weather, doesn't matter the news, doesn't matter what they're going through, this person, when they open their mouth, it just exudes thankfulness, optimism, hope. Everything coming out of them is just, it is positive, it is life, it is thankful. How many of you know at least one person like that in your world? At least one. Most of us. Some of us don't know any that way because our circle is a little different. Second question, a little tougher. When you think about all the people in your world, how many of you know at least one person who has what we would call a complaining spirit? Oh, don't put your hands up yet. All of you, just keep it. At least one person who has a complaining spirit. The weather could be beautiful, but they complain. They haven't even watched the news, and they're complaining. Their circumstance, you look at their life and you go, my goodness, you got everything. You're not living in a hut. You got a toilet that flushes. There's running water. You got a microwave. And you're still complaining. And yet when they opened their mouth, out comes a complaining spirit, an attitude of ungratitude. Now, how many of you know at least one person like that? Just raise your hand. Almost all of us. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand on this one. When you look at yourself, and I am not talking about going to your neighbor and asking them when they look at you what they know about you. I want you, what you would say about yourself, I want you to ask the question, what would you say about yourself? Don't raise your hand, don't stand up, but when you look at you, how many of you would say about yourself, I am that person, when I open, I am full of gratitude continually? Or how many of you would go, when I open my mouth, I know I've got a complaining spirit that just comes out of me? Don't answer, don't raise your hand, and don't point at your spouse. I want to put a couple things on the screen today because I want you to get them. I want you to see them. And if you are wanting to receive, I want you to write them down. I would like you to write down this one statement, and James will shoot it up. And this is it. If you can see God, you can see good. If you can see God, you can see good. The command of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. I got to tell you, this is not for the unbeliever. Because the unbeliever is not concerned about the will of God. This is saying, this is the will of God for us as believers. God's will is that we are thankful in every circumstance. The truth is, if we went outside in the world, the non-believer, they don't care about God's will. If they did care about God's will, they'd be saved already. Wouldn't you agree? So this isn't about them. But I want to tell you something, and I found this fascinating. As the Lord and I were talking about this and putting it together, I got to tell you, what we're going to talk about today, part of the world already knows about. The secular world, the unbelieving world, the psychological world, the godless world out there, do you know that they have already discovered the power of thankfulness in people's lives? Now, they've missed a whole bunch of it because they're just talking about just be thankful. Be thankful to the universe. Be thankful to your cow. Like, be thank. No, it's about who you express your thankfulness to. So they've missed that part. Can I tell you another one the world has grasped? And I believe this is the Spirit of God moving. The world has grasped the power of forgiveness. In secular circles, in healing circles, they are using forgiveness in order to bring release and freedom into people's lives. Now, they've missed part of it because without God, you can't have complete forgiveness. You can't have. But the principle, they've grasped it. You read some of the people who are in secular psychology, they are referring and counseling people to make a decision to forgive because it releases so much and brings healing in their body. It's the craziest thing. I believe that's the Spirit of God working in a dark world. But they have learned the power. They know how it works to a degree, but I want to tell you, as believers filled with God's Spirit, a person and a power greater than our flesh, greater than our logic, we have not been given a suggestion. And can I just say this to you? I am not going to be preaching about something I'm going to suggest that you put into your life today. This is not a suggestion. I'm talking about something that God said, this is my will for you. This is my will for you. On this earth journey, in enemy territory, living as an alien, surrounded by principalities and powers. I love that word that you gave Marie today that just rang in my spirit about how we are to live in this world. In all the circumstances, God is saying this: I am asking you and I am empowering you to choose thankfulness. Not because you feel like it, but because you faith like it. Because you allow my spirit to empower you to see and to do what your flesh alone wouldn't ever do. This morning I want to paint for you four pictures, and I'm going to have you help me with this. You know them all, but I need to paint this. When the Lord laid this in my heart, he says, Colin, I want to plant a picture inside of my family about it doesn't matter the circumstance, doesn't matter what it's like. I have empowered people to walk in a spirit of thankfulness. Before I do that, though, I want to just say again, if you can see God, you can see good. If you can see God, you can see good. I want to write down, first of all, and this is part of what secular world knows, unbelieving, but we as a church know this even more. James, would you throw up the thankfulness side and the complaining side? I want you to see the fruit. We're talking physical fruit, but we're talking spiritual fruit. I want you to, can I just ask you, how many of you believe and know that there is an actual spirit of complaining? It's not just, it's a spirit. How many of you know it's a spirit? It is a spirit. When you think it's just an attitude, you're missing it. When you recognize it is a spirit that comes on you and wants to use your mouth to speak the negative, you got to deal with it like a spirit. Can I ask you a question? How many of you think attitude or thankfulness is just an attitude? Or how many of you believe thankfulness is a literal spirit? It's a spirit. Don't reduce it. I want you to look at the fruit of this. On the one side, and I'll tell you, this is in the church. You could be sitting beside a person who has exactly the opposite fruit inside of them, but I want you to see this. When there is a spirit of thankfulness in a person, you can automatically tell, because out of their mouth, in every circumstance, they have the attitude, God's with me, I'm not alone. It's not just with me, God is for me. When you find someone who gets into a circumstance and all of a sudden they're dealing with it like they're alone, you know the spirit of thankfulness isn't there, because God disappears. It's like, where are you, God? Where are you? Can I tell you, the spirit of thankfulness never makes that statement. It goes, thank you, God, you're with me. Can I just give you one great example? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into that fiery furnace, can I ask you a question? Do you think they had a spirit of thankful or a spirit of complaining? What did they have? A spirit of thankfulness. Our God's going to protect us. He's with us. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. And when they got in there, all of a sudden the fourth man showed up in the fire. Can I suggest to you that a complaining spirit in the people of Israel brought snakes? A thankful spirit brought Jesus into the furnace. I want you to think thankfulness. When there is a person who's thankful because God is with them, can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen a thankful person who has lost hope? You never will. Because if God is with me and for me, I always have hope. Doesn't matter the circumstance. Hope is part of that. You got a person who's got a complaining spirit, and all you got to do is look at the people of Israel. They went, there's no hope here. Nothing's going to change. Take us back to Egypt. You got a spirit of thankfulness, it's going to manifest in joy. We could talk about the fruits. We could talk about peace. Can I just say this to you, by the way? In secular psychology, when they're dealing with people who are depressed, they recognize those people as a whole have a complaining spirit out of their mouth almost all the time. When they track them, it's almost all negative. They have these people write a list of everything they can think of being thankful for, and they recognize that inside of the body, your body releases different endorphins when you're thankful as compared to when you're complaining. When you're complaining and negative, your body becomes depressed. Chemically, it becomes depressed. Spiritually, it becomes depressed. When you're thankful, you release positive and you begin moving up. That's the way God made us. I wonder if that's part of the reason why he said, my will for you on this earth journey, continually be thankful, because I want you filled with the good things that I've created you to experience. I want you to think about optimism. We talked about it before many times. You got those who, their cup is always half full. It's always half full. You can't discourage them. It doesn't matter what comes. Then you got those other people. Their cup is overflowing, and they're still half-empty people. That spirit, it doesn't matter. If that spirit is in you, everything can be shining and green, and you're still complaining. And I love this one, thankfulness. When you got that spirit of thankfulness, it doesn't matter. When you know God is with you and God is love and His perfect love is there, you feel the love of God even when you're standing in the furnace. You feel the love. When you got a complaining spirit, let me tell you, the spirit that overtakes you is fear. You're not feeling loved, surrounded, protected. The complaining spirit pushes love out and you live in a spirit of fear because you're alone against the world. We could add to that list, but that's all the Lord wanted me to share with you today. I want you to write down one more thing before we get going. And James is going to shoot it across four words. I want you to write thankful, and then an arrow, presence, and then another arrow, peace, and then another arrow, prophecy. I want you to understand what happens. And I'm only going to take just 2 minutes to share this today. I could spend a series on this, but I just want to share this. What happens is this, with a spirit of thankfulness, the moment we are triggered inside of us to be thankful, God becomes the object of our thankfulness and we instantly become aware of His presence. Can I tell you, if you are struggling getting into the presence, begin being thankful, begin thanking God, make Him the object, and all of a sudden, the presence of God will become real to you. You want to know the secret of entering into the presence? Begin thanking God. Not just thanking, God. When you are aware of His presence, in the presence of God. And I love Isaiah 26:3 says this, the mind that has stayed on thee has what? Perfect peace. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible to have perfect peace in the midst of a storm where your boat is filling with water and it looks like you're drowning? Can you have perfect peace? Yeah, Jesus did. He modeled having peace in the storm as compared to His young apprentices who were freaking until they learned to have peace. So when they were hanging upside down on the cross, when they were being sawn in two, when they were put in boiling water, they had peace. Why? Because the presence of God was so real, their mind was stayed on God, not the boiling water, not the poison they were being fed, not the saw that was chopping through. They had peace in all of it. Why? Because the presence was more real than the circumstance. And can I tell you where it moves? It moves when I'm aware of the presence of God. I have peace because I'm attached to Him. And all of a sudden, God, in every circumstance, begins to lay in our heart, this is what I want for you. I want you to begin declaring what's not yet as though it already were. I want you to begin praying, and let me say this, flesh, you can tell someone who walks in the flesh because when they open their mouth, all they'll do is talk about what is. What is? What's in front of me? Oh, how terrible things are. They just talk what is. When you find someone in the flesh, they don't talk about what is. You know what they talk about? What's gonna be. They talk about what God is wanting to do. They talk about how God's going to take this horrible thing and turn around and work it for good. They're not stuck on what is. They're stuck on what will be. I will never forget Oral Roberts. Jane and I didn't have an opportunity to meet him, but we saw him. We were at a conference in Long Beach, California, Believers Conference. This was in July. He died in November. They honored him because he was a spiritual father, Kenneth Copeland. He stood up at the front and the ovation of people. God used Oral Roberts powerfully in this world to shift things. But Oral Roberts said this. He said, if I come in contact with anybody who is negative and small thinking, I turn my back on them. He goes, I will not receive complaining. I will not receive that in my life. You want to talk flesh? You do it on your own. You're not coming into me. Now, I don't want to encourage you to do this when you walk outside the church today, and we might edit this part. But I want you to think, I'm the gatekeeper of my life. If I don't keep track of who I let in and what I let in, crap is going to get in that shouldn't be in there. And I don't care if it comes from a spouse. I don't care if it comes from a family member. I don't care if it comes from your boss. I don't care who it is. We, and it may not be turning your back, but can I tell you, on the inside, we need to turn our back and close our ear. Because that stuff will kill us. I want you to hear this again. Spirit of thankfulness is a powerful spirit that does what? Makes us aware of the presence of God, We attach ourselves because the elephant is with us and I'm the mouse. I can have peace in the biggest circumstance, the biggest storm. Why? Because I'm not alone. The elephant is bigger than my circumstance. And because of the elephant, I can say, God, how are you going to use this for good? And I begin prophesying. I begin declaring what he wants. And what does the Bible say? In all things, pray without ceasing and give thanks. We'll talk about that in a moment. I want to tell you one way, again, to tell people who walk in the flesh and in the spirit. People who walk in the flesh, they have to see it before they give thanks. People who walk in the spirit, they just have to hear it, and then they begin giving thanks. They don't have to see it, they have to hear it. And once they hear it, we'll talk about that. That's all I want to do in that one today. I won't even ask questions. Four pictures. I want you to write down. James is going to shoot up. The name, the verse, if all you do is write that down. I want to show these to you. I need a few people to help me with this morning. Malachi, could I have you come? I need you to be Jesus. You'll be an awesome Jesus. You can just stand right here. I need 10 people to be 10 lepers over here. I know this does not reflect you, but I need 10 lepers. So just come. We got one. We got two. We got three. We got four. We got five. Gee, I feel like an auctioneer. We got five now. We're going for six now. We got six. We're going for seven now. We're going to tap. We need four more. Seven. Well, we got seven. We're going to need eight. We need three more. Three more lepers. This is not prophetic. Eight. We got nine. Nine. We need one more leper. Well, we got 10 lepers. Awesome. 10 lepers. I am. We're going to have porridge right away. Do we have 11? 6, 8, 10. No, we're awesome. We're good. Somebody's new math. Luke chapter 17. This is where it's found. You don't have to look it up, but I want you to get this. This is what the Bible says. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was somewhere else. He was on his way. On his way, he was walking along the border of Galilee and Samaria. He was not in Samaria. He was walking along the border on his way to Jerusalem. This is Jesus. He's walking. As he's walking with his disciples coming up, going along there, the Bible says in that area, there were 10 men, 10 people, who all had leprosy. Now, I don't know, for those of you who've been to Africa, you've been to India, you've been different places, there are leper colonies. Do you know that on Hawaii, there's leper colonies, right? When you get leprosy, they put you into a place, and all the people with leprosy, they are together because they are shunned. 10 people who had leprosy. Now, I want you to see this. Mal, I know your heart is to move close to him, but we're not going to move close to him. Okay? I want you to hear what the Bible says. The Bible says this. When these 10 lepers saw Jesus coming down the road, when they saw him, they began shouting to Jesus. Now, here's the deal. You can't touch a leper without being unclean. A leper cannot be in public. A leper cannot come close to you. That is the way it is. They saw him. They began shouting to Jesus. What did they shout? Anybody know? But here's the deal. I want you to see this. They go, Jesus, Master, can I ask you a question? Do you think somebody in here had a revelation, had heard stories about this guy? Faith comes by what? Ho, we found a group of 10 who had faith because they heard somewhere that this guy healed the blind. This guy raised the dead. This guy healed another leper somewhere else. This guy cast out demons. They're talking about a guy who can give them hope when nobody else had hope. They began shouting. They respected the distance. They began shouting, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. That's what they shouted. The Bible says this, Jesus stopped from a distance. Now, I just got to tell you this on the side. For those of us who've been in Africa, I remember going to Africa, and I remember they were talking to us about the untouchables, villages where the untouchable people. When Reg and I went there the first time, it was really cool because we said to the bishop, we said, we would like to go to an untouchable village. I don't think that was a rebellion. I think that was the Spirit of God. We went to the untouchable village and we went in there. And when we got out, we were surrounded by kids, surrounded by adults. And you know what we began doing to the untouchables? We began touching them. I can't tell you how powerful that was for us to be able to do that, not to walk in fear, to bring light into their dark world. But I can't tell you what it did to them. To be touched by a Jesus figure was powerful. Jesus didn't come over. Jesus didn't touch him. Jesus heard, "Have pity on us." Jesus spoke back, must have hollered back, and he said this, "Go, show yourself to the doctor." That's all he said. What did they do? Can I tell you, and again, there had to be enough people in this group because they were all together. When they heard that single voice from Jesus, the single command, you know what they did? I want you to do this. They began running to go see the priest, the doctor. They began. Let's pray for them as they run. Are you ready? Go! Run! Karen, stop. Karen, stop. Everybody else, keep running. Go find your seat. Yeah. Josh missed his seat. Reed missed it. Awesome. I want you to catch this. Okay? And we can joke about it here, but here's the deal. Those 10 went running somewhere. I don't know how far it was. It could have been a block. It could have been a mile, 2 miles. All of a sudden, one of the 10, when the other kept on running, they kept running, one of them stopped. I want to ask you a question because I want to reveal this. You're going to be surrounded by all kinds of people when God does good things to them. They don't turn around. They don't think about it. They don't think we got to give God the glory. They don't turn around and go back. But there are people in our world, in the midst of all the good and God's blessing, they stop. Now, I want you to hear this. Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. The fact that one of them stopped, was that an act of disobedience? Are you telling me we can interrupt the obedience of what Jesus or the Father tells us to do? We can interrupt it in order to express thankfulness and it's not disobedience? Watch what the one did. Karen? The one who from a distance hollered, recognized they were cleansed like the other nine. The one didn't stop here, went all the way, threw himself at Jesus' feet. Threw himself at Jesus' feet. Oh, you'll have to move your feet because she missed. There we go. Yeah. Threw himself at Jesus' feet and began to do what? Give thanks. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. 9 out of 10, if we're looking at that, 9 out of 10 who received blessing and goodness from God, they kept on going. That wasn't wrong. That wasn't, they were being obedient, but there's something about the one who had a spirit of thankfulness, who turned around, came back, threw themselves at the one who just changed their life. And it doesn't say worshiped. It doesn't say worshiped. It says thanked. Thanked. I will never forget the word from Jerry Seville. Jerry Seville talked about favor, talked about good things coming in his life. He made a statement. He says, every time something good happens, he goes, if you see it, say it. If you experience God's favor, say it. I got to tell you, this is so crazy. You can be in the grocery store and the cashier, something goes wrong and they change it. And they go, you know what? I'll give it to you for the sale price. It was on sale 17 weeks ago, but I'll give it to you. I can tell you, I went to Peavey the other day. And there was something there that I was looking at. Was it Peavey? No, it wasn't Peavey. It was Princess Auto. I went to Princess Auto the other day. There was something that I had to buy, and I went there, and the price was $279. And I talked with this lady, and we went, and circumstance. But anyway, she was coming back. I just asked her, does it ever go on sale? She goes, oh, let me check. So she pulls it up. She goes, yeah. She goes, it does go on sale. Oh, that was quite a while ago. She goes, you know what? Then I'm going to give it to you for the sale price, $149. Can I tell you what I told her? I didn't fall down the ground and grab her feet and worship and give thanks. I didn't do that. You know what I did do? Because I saw it. That was the favor of God on my life. When you see it, you say it. I said, you know what? I said, thank you so much. I said, that's the favor of God on my life. And we ended up talking for a little while. It was quite fascinating. But I wanted to be the one who went back. I wanted to be the one to give God the glory. When I saw it, I wanted to say it to him. God, this is your favor in my life, and I want them to know. Just a question. Don't raise your hand. When God does good things in your life, are you the one at the feet of Jesus, or are you the nine running in your goodness? What are you? In all things, give thanks. I got to just say this because we've got to be really clear. When things go good, when we are blessed, when we get healed in a moment after having leprosy and we're running and we find out we get healed, is it easy to give thanks when things are good? Obviously not. Because 9 out of 10 didn't do it. Let me tell you, God's thankfulness is meant to lead us to repentance and lead us to thankfulness. Do you know how many times God's goodness in our life causes us to forget? I want to say this to you. When things are good, the seduction of the enemy is to forget to be thankful. The Spirit goes, in all circumstances, when things are good, be thankful. We're going to talk about the other ones. Be thankful. I just want you to look and go, God, this is who I want to be. I want to be the one. I don't care what the other nine do. I don't care what the entire church does. I don't care what my spouse does. I don't care what the rest of the family does. When I see it, I'm going to say it. Let's give Karen especially a hand. Malachi's feet too. You are awesome. Boy, can you imagine if you were old? That would be hard, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? I want you to write down number two. Number two. Would like you to write down Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. I need four people to help me with this. And I don't want anybody to be offended by my choice of who I'm going to ask to help me. Okay? But Arnold and Linda, could I have you guys come to the front, please? Trevor and Marie, could I have you guys come to the front? I'd like you guys, Trevor and Marie, if you guys would stand here. Arnold and Linda, if you guys would stand here. Now, again, none of this reflects the people I've chosen, and I know that they can handle it, okay? I want Arnold and Linda this morning to represent Abraham at 100 and Sarah at 90. Okay? Now, there's a lot of years to go yet. Right, Arnold? Yep. Yeah, yeah. 190. I want Trevor and Marie, I want them to represent, and I want Trevor to represent 75 years old, and I want Marie to represent 65 years old. The whole point is, I want a 25-year gap between these two. Okay? How old are you, Trev?
44.
44. Arnold, how old are you?
80.
80. Okay? So we have a 35-year gap, but I want you to get the picture. Do you get the picture? This is Abraham and Sarah when they were 25 years younger. This is Abraham and Sarah 25 years later at 100. I want you to get this picture. In Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave where you are. We know the story. I want you to go to a place that I'm going to lead you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. We know that whole. What was he really saying to Abraham? Abraham, from you and Sarah, nations, descendants, stars of the sky, sand of the sea. That is what is going to come out of you, and you are going to bless the world, nations, through your seed. 75, 65, you guys received the spoken blessing. I want to ask you a question. When God speaks a promise to you, when God speaks something over you, how long does it take before either you forget or you go, huh, it's been a week and I haven't got it? Or you go, huh, I've been praying about that for a month and it hasn't happened. Huh, boy, we've been standing on that for a year and it hasn't taken place. Man, after 5 years, God must have forgot. After 10 years, and they begin complaining because it hasn't happened. I want you to think about this. How do you remain thankful when you receive a word 25 years and over that whole period of time, all that he went through, how do you remain thankful until you get to this point and it manifests? Can I tell you, unless you have a spirit inside of you that's greater than your flesh will complain, your flesh will forget, your flesh will doubt God, your flesh is going to go, it ain't happening. Your flesh will begin to confess the opposite and going, I guess it's never going to happen. Can I tell you? There's a reason why God picked this man. We'll set Sarah aside for a second because she had a little blip in her screen, right? Little Hagar was a little offshoot. Abraham, we'll talk about that later. Why did God choose Abraham? Can I tell you why? Abraham had inside of him a faith that said, when I hear God tell me I'm going to have descendants, a promise, descendants, nations, God, I thank you. Every time he spoke his name was Abram, God changed it to Abraham. Every time he spoke his name, that name was father of nations. For 25 years, the Bible said this, Abraham didn't waver. It says this, Abraham believed that what God said over here, he would eventually fulfill. Not giving God 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, 15 years, 24 years. I guess it. Can I ask you a question? How long, when God says something in your life, how long till you forget? How long till you start complaining? How long till you go, it's not happening? How long till you go, God, it's been 25 years. I'll never forget when Bill Winston made a comment. He made this statement, and I'll never forget it. He goes, when as believers do we have what God said? When do we have it? The moment he said it. Can I tell you? The moment he said to Abraham, I am going to bless you, make you the father of nations, Abraham had it. He had it in his spirit before he had it in his flesh. And when it's in your spirit, you go, I got it. Father, thank you. I'm the father of nations. I don't have to know when. I don't have to know how long. I don't have to know. I am. Here's the picture. I go to my little child and I say, Christmas time, I'm getting you a bike. In that child's mind, on the inside, when did they get the bike? When did they get it? The moment dad said it, they got the bike. They're going to school going, I got a bike. Well, where is it? It's coming. But dad said, I got a bike. Can I tell you what a complaining spirit does? If God tells you something and it doesn't happen right away, I begin complaining. God said to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, I'm going to take you to the promised land. How many days did they get out there and they begin complaining? We got no water. We got no food. Like, God, you didn't think about this. You're not able to get us to the promised land. You're going to let us all starve to death. A complaining spirit does not give God the time. I want you to think about this for a second. We are praying and declaring that our little Micah is going to walk and leap and praise the Lord. When do we start complaining? When do we start going, God, hasn't happened? When do we start doing that? A year? 5 years? 25 years? I don't know how long. I'll tell you what I do know. By his wounds, little Micah is what? Every one of us have things in our life where God has spoken things over us. I want to tell you this again. When Jane and my marriage was a 2 out of 10 and God began to lay on us, I want you to have a 12 out of 10. I'm going to make your marriage with me a 12 out of 10. Guess when I began declaring a 12 out of 10? After it happened or the moment he spoke it? A complaining spirit will never do that. A spirit of thankfulness, when God speaks to Abraham at 75 and says, I will make you the father of nations. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. 15 years. Thank you, God. 18. Thank you, God. 24. Thank you, God. 25. Way past age. She can't conceive naturally. God does a miracle. And all of a sudden, Abraham's thankfulness is no longer a faith statement, it's a reality statement. In all things, can I ask you this? In all things, 5 years down the road, no baby. In all things, give thanks, can we? 10 years down the road, in all things, no baby, can we? 15 years down, no baby. In all things, give thanks, can we? This guy did. Do you know that Abraham could have killed the blessing? Do you know how many believers kill the blessing in their life? Let's give these guys a hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Would you write down number 3? Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16, verse 16, FF means all the verses following. I need two men. Gordon, can I have you come? Randy, can I have you guys come? I need all of our families are gone today. Is Izzy here? Izzy, can I borrow you? Just drop your headphones and stop the recording and the computer stuff you're doing. Can I have you guys over? Gordon, if you would just come over here. Okay. Izzy, where are you, Izzy? Come here, sweetie. You're awesome. I want to paint a picture for you. This is what the Bible says. When Paul will be Gordon. I'll only tell you one reason why. Can you stay right there? Bible says Paul had no hair later in life. You win. His stature was smaller. You will be Silas. Okay? Paul and Silas. They were going through a city, and as they were walking through ministering, there was a young girl that followed after Paul and Silas, followed them when they were walking around and ministering, a little girl. Now, here's the question. Tell me about this little girl. Tell me about her. Tell me some things about her. Say it again. She was a slave. That's right. This little girl was a slave. She had owners. She had masters. Tell me something more about her. She was demonically possessed. Little girl, demonically possessed. And what was that demonic possession? It was the spirit of divination. She had the ability to divine future. That was the big one, right? Can I just tell you, and you know this, the whole world that's caught up in wanting to know the future and they will go to Satanists to find out. We're not talking just, that's just a neat little horoscope. Gee, that's just a little fortune cookie. We're talking about spirits. This little girl had a spirit, demonic spirit on her. This little girl followed Paul and Silas everywhere they walked. Can I just have you guys just walk around? Just go down there and come down the center aisle. Izzy, can I have you just follow behind them? Just stay a little ways away. Yeah. Okay, they're preaching. She's walking. What does the Bible say? And I want you to hear this. Did that bug these two guys? Began bugging them. Because this little girl was talking demonically, she was talking, and it was irritating, and she was speaking out stuff about what they were saying. And Paul, now, we don't want to get the picture that Paul got upset, but Paul got righteously indignant. Come on. Huh? No, this Paul's smiling. Yeah, he went into aviation instead of drama. Here's what it says. There was a time when they were walking. Paul stopped. He turned around. He looked at the little girl, but he was speaking to the demon. And what did he do? Come out of her. That's all he said. Come out of her. The moment that happened, that demon left the little girl. Now, she didn't fall on the ground. She wasn't frothing. She wasn't vomiting, doing all that stuff. Doesn't have to happen every time a demon leaves you. That spirit of divination left. Can I ask you this? That little girl was freed. Paul and Silas went off and did their thing. Just don't go anywhere. This little girl, she went back to her owners because she was a slave. Guess what the owners were able to tell the moment they saw her and she opened her mouth? Guess what they knew? The demon that they were profiting from was gone. They could no longer use her to divine the future, divine markets, to divine the games of the sports. They couldn't use her to make a profit. They go, our cash cow is empty, and guess who's responsible? I want you to hear this just for the sake of time. Her owners went to the magistrates, told the magistrates what happened. The magistrates took a crowd of people. They went over. They got Paul and Silas. They beat them. They beat them severely, the Bible says. Beat them severely, put them into prison, and locked them up. Can you guys sit on the steps? Sweetheart, thank you. Can we give her a hand? She's going to go back to Dad. Can you go back and see Dad? She's awesome. I want you to get this. Paul and Silas were in jail. They beat them. They shackled their feet so they couldn't get out. And they were in prison. Can I ask you a question? What would a complaining spirit do? A complaining spirit go, would you send some cheese? Because we want to have some cheese with our wine. Ning. Right? Can I tell you, these guys have just been beat. These guys are chained up. Oh, by the way, the Bible says this, before they beat them, they took off all their clothes. They were naked. In public, they were naked. In public, they were beaten naked, and they were taken to jail naked. And here they're sitting there. You have a spirit of thankfulness inside of you? Let me tell you how outside the flesh this is. Let me tell you, you're just reading right now what your flesh would do or what your spirit would do. I just want to ask you by a show of hands, how many of you, the automatic thing inside of you, you were just beaten, you're without clothes, you're chained up, and the first thing in your mind is, I want to begin thanking God. Just raise your hand. That's the first thing in your mind. I'm just going to begin thanking God. All one of you. I want you to see, who is the person who penned under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in all circumstances, give thanks? Who penned it? The Apostle Paul. Now, let me just say something to you. I'll never forget when I was about an 18-year-old believer. I had a cousin, Gary, who was about 10 years older than me. We were sitting at one of my aunt and uncle's houses, and I was in Bible school. He made a statement to me. He goes, Colin, he says, every time you say something about God and share with somebody else, you be prepared to be tested on whether or not you can live it out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you think the Apostle Paul, under the anointing, would share God's heart going, in every circumstance, give thanks, and not have the opportunity to have it tested? Here he is. What does the Bible say? The Bible says Paul didn't fail the test. The Bible said, who cared if he was naked? Who cared if he was beaten? Who cared if he had chains on? Here he is in prison. And what are Paul and Silas doing? What are they doing? Worshiping praising, singing hymns. If it was modern, they'd be singing worship songs. My lighthouse, my light, like, right? You get someone who's got a spirit of thankfulness, this isn't going to shut them up. This doesn't shut them down. A complaining spirit won't take over when there's no complaining spirit in there, but there's a spirit of thankfulness. What did the Apostle Paul do? He begins worshiping God, which brought the presence. God, you're with me. Even in this, God, you're with me. I attach my mind to yours. I can have peace that passes understanding because the mind stayed on you has perfect peace. And I'm going to begin worshiping you and prophesying, God, can you bring good from this? Would you cause people to come to know you? Would you let my life be an example? He began prophesying what's not yet. Can you imagine if he'd have been there going, oh, Silas, here we are. Oh, look at us. Man, we're all beaten. We've lost our ministry. Man, people are going to no longer follow us. Oh, man, can you imagine that? That would be a different scripture. I'm not going to go into this, but I want you to hear this. The Bible says at midnight. I don't think they began at midnight. I think they began once they got in there. A spirit of thankfulness. I think when they were chained up, I think they began giving thanks to God right there. God, thank you. You're here. Thank you. We're not alone. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can thank you in the furnace, we're going to thank you here, even though they can't see you. You are with us. There's three of us here. The Bible says at midnight, what happened? Can I just say this to you, and then I'm going to end with this one? I have never read anywhere that when a complaining spirit began manifesting, the earthquake came down, shook the things off, all the doors opened up, and they were free. I've never heard that as a manifestation of complaining. Have you? Some of you, and I want you to hear this, because we've all been there, we are all there. It's not that we're naked, it's not that we've been beat, it's not that we've been chained, but I want to tell you, some of us are in very lonely circumstances. Some of us are in very desperate circumstances. Some of us have a lot of stuff that's against us. People are opposed to us. In all circumstances, give thanks. Paul and Silas lived out what God, through revelation, gave them. My will for you in every circumstance is to give thanks and watch me move. Thank you, gentlemen. Can we give them a hand? I got to do one more. You got time for one more? You got it, because we've got to do a couple things after. Would you write down number 4, David? Would you write down 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 18? There's a whole bunch in that chapter. I need three people for this. David, can I borrow you? David, can I borrow you? Not that your name is David, but you got the beard for David. I want you to... I'd like you to get on the ground. Just lay in the ground because you are praying. Paul, can I have you come? Dennis, can I have you come? Jerry, can I have you come? Can I have you flat on the ground with your face right to the ground? Can I do that? Perfect. Yeah, I want the three of you men just standing. Yeah, right where Jerry is. I want you right there. We all know the story. Let me give it to you really quick. David should have been out of battle. He wasn't. He was on his roof. He saw a beautiful woman by the name of what? Bathsheba. He took her, slept with her. She goes home. She gets pregnant. She sends back and goes, I'm with child. David brings her husband back, gets him drunk, wants him to sleep with her. He doesn't. So he gives a note, sends him back, has him killed. After he's killed, period of mourning, she brings Bathsheba and she marries him. Bathsheba has a baby. When the baby was born, Nathan came and revealed to David that God knew all of this other stuff. He had hid it for almost a year. God knew. When Nathan left David's presence, the baby was struck with illness. When the baby was struck with illness, what the Bible says is David, he went into prayer and fasting. Why did he do that? Because he goes, it is possible that God may change his mind and our baby may be saved. After 7 days, no eating, no nothing, David is on the ground. his aides come in. They were out. They realized they saw the baby was dead. They came in, and from a distance, they were talking amongst each other, how are we going to reveal this to David without getting our heads chopped off? They were standing here talking amongst themselves. David was a ways away. The Bible says this, as he's praying, as he's warring, he hears them murmuring over here. David looks up at them and he goes, is the child dead? And they said to him, what? Yes, the child is dead. I want you to see what is so outside of logic. It confounded his servants. Nobody understood this. When David found out his child was dead, the Bible says this, David got up. He went to his house. He changed his clothes, washed, changed his clothes. He shaved. He put on lotion. Then David went where? Where'd David go? David went to the temple and he began to do what? He began to worship. He began to praise God. He began to give thanks to God. And after David worshiped, the Bible says he went home and he ate. Here's the deal. You got his servants, his aides, looking at David, finding out his baby was dead. David? When people should be mourning, what are you doing? You're getting up, you're washing, you're putting on lotion, you're going to the temple, you're praising God, you're worshiping after your baby's dead. Can I ask you a question? In all things, what? How could David do that? You need to understand, when things are going so wrong in your life, when things are going so backward, when things that should be alive are dying, even when people around you are dying, and you begin giving thanks, not for the fact they died, but you're giving thanks in the circumstance. Do you know how the world, in fact, do you know how most of the church is going to look at you? You need a one-way ticket to Unit 3. Because their expectation was, when he finds out his baby is dead, the grief should overwhelm him. The anger should overtake him. Complaining does that. God, where were you? Why did you let my baby die? How could you do this? A spirit of thankfulness goes, God, you're good. You're here with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me in the darkest valley. I'm not alone. God, attach my mind to your mind. I want to walk in perfect peace in the midst of this crazy storm. Can I tell you, his most trusted advisors could not make sense of David's response of thankfulness after his baby died. Church, we can't do this without the Spirit. We can't do in our flesh, our logic, our reason, our feeling, our we can't do what God calls us to do, and that is, in every circumstance, including death, give thanks. Why could David do it? If you can see God, you can see good. If you can't see God in the circumstance, you will not see good if it stares you in the face. Can we give these gentlemen a hand? Thank you, gentlemen. Zach, could I have you come? I want to ask you one question, then we're going to take just a few minutes and practice this. It won't take long. How many of you have a turkey that's getting ready to burn in 7 minutes? How many of you? Nobody. Good. Good. If you do, just speak over the turkey and God will look after it, would you? Just do that. I want to ask you a question. In the world that we live in. And the Holy Spirit through Marie spoke so powerfully this morning, we as believers We are alien. We are different. What happens to this world doesn't define us. If in the midst of all that's going on in this world, when we open our mouth in any circle and out of us comes thankfulness, when everybody else is doom and gloom, when everybody else is talking what is, you open your mouth. Thank you, God. We're not alone in this furnace. God will protect us, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. We're not bowing down. We're giving him glory. We're going to see him face to face. I can't lose in this thing. Either he's going to protect me or I'm going to be with him. I wish I could tell you that just because you're a Christian and just because you go to church, you are immune from having a complaining spirit and thankfulness will just overwhelm you. I wish I could tell you that. I can't. I can't. The church is full of the spirit of complaint. It's full of it. The world is full of it. I expect that. But can I tell you what God's looking for? Can I tell you who he's empowered? Can I tell you what he wants us not just to do, but knowing that it's his will? God, in this circumstance, what is your will? Give thanks. Have you ever prayed that? God, what is your will here? Give thanks. God, we want to know your will. Give thanks. God, what's your... Give thanks. We're going through hell in our marriage. God, what do you want? Give thanks. I believe in the days that we're in and the days that are coming, that the people under the anointing of the Spirit of God who give thanks when everybody else is and complaining and all of that stuff is happening, I believe the Spirit of God flowing out of our mouth in thankfulness is going to be one of the most powerful lighthouse witnesses in this day. And I believe we may need to take the anointing of Oral Roberts and turn our back on complainers, even though they might be in the body of Christ, even though they might be in our family, even though they might be in the church. I'm not receiving it because it'll kill me. It's killing you. I'm not going to let it kill me. At the very beginning of the message, when I asked the question, when you look at yourself, it says, about what other people see when they look at you, because other people see it way more clearly than we do. But when you look at yourself and you ask yourself, am I filled with a spirit of thankfulness? Every circumstance, I open my mouth and thankful comes out. Or when I look at it, I'm a complainer. I see what is. I complain about what is, that I'm stuck in that. But the Lord said to me, Call. One of the first things we need to do is admit the truth. And if that is the truth about us, we can. God said, I can deal with that in a moment. I read somewhere where he said, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. How long does that take? Would you bow with me this morning? I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Because the Spirit of God is speaking, he is moving. We asked him in the beginning, you stood believing, and we are receiving right now. I just want you right now, in obedience, if the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart and go, as Pastor Colin's been talking, I recognize that spirit of complaining, it's in me. And right now, God is saying, just confess it. Just repent. Just ask forgiveness. And I will do for you in a moment what you could never do in a lifetime. If that's you, just right now, take a moment. If you have prayed, I need to declare over you, God is faithful and just, and he has now cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And again. Would you repeat after me in the name of Jesus? Spirit of complaining, I command you to release me. Be out of my life. Never return again. And Heavenly Father, take back all the ground that spirit occupied and fill me with your spirit of thankfulness. So in every circumstance, I will do your will and give thanks. I want you to practice this morning on a couple things. There's a crazy war that is raging in Israel right now. People are dying every day. In the flesh, we look at it, it makes no sense. In the flesh, we know it's spiritual. We know the whole. I want to ask you to take 1 minute, and in this circumstance, I would like you to pray a prayer of thankfulness, not for what's going on. In the circumstance, would you pray a prayer of thankfulness? It just might be, God, I'm glad you're not dead. And I'm glad you're bigger than this. And I'm glad in the midst of it, you're moving. Would you just pray thankfulness over that circumstance? There is a different war that is raging on our southern border. And it is intensifying as the days are coming closer. There are words that are being spoken. There is media that is propaganda. There is all kinds of stuff. I would like you to take a moment this morning, and I would like you to pray prayers of thankfulness in this circumstance, in this season. It might be, God, I'm glad you're not dead. And I'm glad in the midst of this, you're working. I'm glad, God, you're able to expose truth. I'm glad you have your people in place. Just take a minute. For many of us in this place, some time ago, God has told us some things, and they haven't manifested yet. And we've been waiting. We've been believing. We've been discouraged. We've even wondered if we had to pray it again. We've come to a point of going, you know what? It may not happen. It may not happen. God is saying this morning, if I told you, I don't care if it's 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, if I told you, all your job is to be thankful, and my job is to manifest it in the Kairos moment. So I would like you to take a minute this morning. I would like you to allow the Holy Spirit to reawaken some of the words that He has spoken to you. For some of you, it may have been a long time ago, and it hasn't happened, and the discouragement, and you have resigned yourself to it not happening. Today, Holy Spirit's going to awaken it and go, Abraham, anointing on you. I want you to give thanks in that circumstance. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God told him he could do. That's when we can give thanks. When we're waiting, would you take a moment? For some of us in here right now, we are under spiritual attack. For some, it's physical, we've been hit. For some, it's relational. For some, it's circumstantial. For some, it's family. For some, it's financial. We've been hit. We're under attack. We may not be naked and in prison and chained up, but spiritually, we're in a bad spot. The choice we've been given is we can complain and talk about what is, or we can allow the Spirit of God on the inside of us to manifest thankfulness, bring in the presence, give us a peace that passes understanding, and begin declaring what's not yet as though it already were. I'd like you to take a moment this morning. Just take a minute. In the midst of your attack, in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your valley, giving thanks is not natural, but we're not natural. Just give thanks in it. Would you stand with me this morning? Just to invite you to open your hands and put them out in a posture of receiving. I need to release over you today an anointing of thankfulness. Thankfulness that was inside of the one leper who turned when everybody else ran. He turned and came back. Thankfulness in Abraham that held him for 25 years until Isaac stepped into the world. Thankfulness in Paul and Silas in the midst of their beating and persecution were able to be thankful. The thankfulness that rested on David when he lost his son, he went and he worshiped you. He gave thanks. Father, today, we are your children. And you have filled us with your Spirit. So that it is no longer I and my flesh who live, but you, Jesus, who live in me. Empowering me to do and to think and to say what I never could on my own. So this morning, Holy Spirit, I ask for a fresh release of the Spirit of thankfulness inside of every person in this place and under the sound of my voice. That in the midst of a world of complaining spirits where snakes are killing them, we are a people of thankfulness. We're a people who bring in your presence. We're a people who walk with a peace that passes understanding. And we are a people who prophesy what's not yet as though it already were. And we give you thanks for it the moment you say it, not when we see it. I release that anointing now in Jesus' name. Receive the anointing of thankfulness. Receive the Spirit of thankfulness. I pray over every tongue this morning that you would be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that it would no longer be brackish water and clear water that comes out. The brackish would no longer be there, and the fresh water of thankfulness and praise. It's all that comes out of our fountain. For one reason, Lord. For the glory of your name. Because you are the object of our thanksgiving. This morning I want to release the name of the Lord over you so he can bless you. God is going to put his name on you. Are you ready? He's going to put his name on you so he can bless you. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace that passes all human logic understanding. I declare that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody receiving the name of the Lord on their life said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome Thanksgiving.